with Danny.
And Rihanna Show, this is Danny, Rihanna's husband.
And this is Rihanna, Danny's wife. And today, we are kind of continuing this Fallout conversation. If you're not aware, the Fallout TV show on Amazon Prime is the latest and greatest in the long storied history of video game adaptations. And it seems like the world is loving it, ourselves included, which we talked about in our previous episode. So if you haven't gotten a chance to check that out, go ahead and scroll back a little bit in your podcast feed or your YouTube playlist. But Danny, we're expanding the conversation today, right?
Yeah, we have a long list of other video game adaptations of shows and movies that's coming out in the future, and some that already came out years ago or recent. And we're going to be talking about like our favorites and one that we felt like came out great and some that didn't. And there's going to be a couple movies and TV shows coming out in the future. We don't know yet if it's going to be good or not. We'll have like a prediction if it's going to be good or not. So, but first I have a poll. This is an easy one because I posted this during the last episode of our podcast. Make sure to listen to that review of Fallout TV series. No spoilers. It's a very, very great conversation there. And we recorded that right after the red carpet premiere of the show.
Like we got home and hit record directly afterwards.
Straight record. So I posted, are you going to watch the Fallout TV series? And 100% said yes.
Yeah. Easy yes.
That was a poll on Spotify. If you listen to Spotify, make sure to be part of our weekly poll. Right. Yeah,
I don't think it necessarily needs to be a poll, but I'd be curious to know who binged it versus who's trying to spread it out weekly and watching it over time. Because I don't know, the end of some of those episodes are such a hard cliffhanger. I don't know how you could possibly not hit next episode.
That was a very great conversation of the debate of should shows be weekly or just binge the whole thing, have everything available day one. I personally like the weekly format because, read these episodes, imagine watching the first two episodes and then we have to wait for the following week for episode three and then four after that and so on. It will create a conversation throughout the whole week and theories and all this stuff. Like, it's fun, like watching, you know, shows like that. But having everything into one, I feel like it's off. There might be spoilers. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot going on, you know? So, I don't know. Personally, I like the weekly. How about you? Do you like weekly or the whole season?
I think it depends on the show. If it's something that has shorter episodes, maybe like 30 minutes or 25 minutes, I think a full drop of a season is not quite as intimidating or difficult to, you know, watch everything, catch up, and then have the conversations. When you have, you know, 45, 50, 60 minute episodes, it is tough to binge a full 8 episodes quickly enough to be in the conversation when, as you mentioned, spoilers are a huge problem, especially for something like this that has a lot of twists and turns. I'm talking about the Fallout TV series in particular. Mm-hmm. And it's also harder to have that, you know, Easter egg conversation as we're talking today about video game adaptations specifically. And, you know, there's so much in any video game that can be pulled from when you take it to either live action or animation. There's, you know, just less time to celebrate all of the I know that reference moments. And mm-hmm. It's a bit of a bummer. I think the Fallout TV series is so strong, and it absolutely could have held our attention week to week for a couple of months. And I think it's a bit of a missed opportunity on Amazon's part. We'll see if it gets the praise and lauds that it obviously deserves, in our opinion, if they'll get renewed for a second season, which it seems like they probably will. Maybe they'll change it. Maybe they'll drop it in chunks or do like Netflix where they do half the season on one date and the other half on the next date so people have a chance to catch up. You know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. The sky is the limit for all of these different streaming services, especially with TV. So, yeah, we'll see how they decide to do it.
Yeah, and I'll mention this before we mentioned our video game adaptation shows and movies. Usually companies would do this, especially streaming services, because they want to compete with Netflix. And there is like a weekly chart from Nielsen. And companies will do that when they release a whole bunch of episodes day one. People stream it. It will help them to climb on top of the charts.
Right. And Netflix, the charts measure hours watched. So hours watched, drop the whole season, more time watched.
Now, usually when you check out the charts of movies and TV shows that it's been out for a while, you'll see that, especially the episodes, you'll see that they have multiple. Like, for example, the show that you will always see on the top of the charts from the Disney Plus streaming service is Bluey, because Bluey has so many episodes people are streaming. So I think that's why Amazon started doing that. Maybe they would change their minds for season two, have it like a weekly thing, but I think they wanted to start this strong for like the first season. So at least it could be at top of the charts. It's a great way to have like a major press release. You get what I'm saying? So, and yeah. I know Netflix have done that with other video game shows like Castlevania, Arcane, and a couple other ones too. So, but yeah.
Yeah. So since you're mentioning other shows and video game adaptations, let's get into it. What are some of your favorite video game to either live action or animation adaptations? Let's go with like two or three, because obviously there's lots.
Not my favorite of all time or anything like that, but I think I have to put it up there. I really enjoy the original Mortal Kombat movie. I know it might be cheesy. Love the soundtrack. Love the fighting scenes in there. And I think I had a great time watching that movie back in the 90s. It was really, really good. And I mean, watching it now, you're like, oh man, it's cheesy. But it was fun back then, man. It was a lot of fun. There's this... Okay, so for those that love Final Fantasy VII, back years ago, Square Enix did a movie based on Final Fantasy VII, like after the events of the game. Years later, I believe. And they released this on it was like DVD and Blu-ray during that time. There were like no release in the movie theaters, or there was no streaming service back then. It was just straight up to DVD. And I remember watching this and it was phenomenal. Just recently, a couple weeks ago, for the first time, before the release of the Final Fantasy Rebirth game, Square Enix once again re-released this movie. And they had a release now at movie theaters like for the first time. And a lot of people went to see it. So it's like a celebration before the Rebirth came out. But yeah, if you're a fan of Final Fantasy VII, highly, highly recommend to watch this. I know it's available in other streaming services now. But at that time, straight up to DVD. And it was awesome. It was really, really good. And the story was exactly connected to the old game.
So. Like a copy-paste, or you mean like a continuation? No, not
copy-paste, but continuation. Like, yeah, exactly. Like after the events of the original game for Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's really good. And for you?
Yeah, I think some of the... I wouldn't say like my favorites, but most successful, in my opinion. No, I guess I'll just say my favorites. My favorites have been definitely Arcane is up there. And Arcane is, of course, in the world of League of Legends, and it is an animated show. So going from a video game art style to an animated TV show is less of a jump than to live action. But the art style for Arcane is so, so special and so beautiful. And we've been really blessed with some great quality animation over the last couple years, looking at things like Spider-Verse and The Boy and the Heron and lots of things like being in the mainstream. But Arcane just has such a specific look and tone. And it's very different from the games, which I think is interesting, because one of the things that I'm think makes a game adaptation successful is nailing the tone. But because League of Legends is a, you know, multiplayer game, there's not as much storytelling as there is in a narrative based, you know, live action or animated series. And in the animated series for Arcane, they just had such a specific point of view. Like, they had a very specific feel and a very specific tone. The voice acting was top notch. The story was really well told, and you know, they left you wanting more. There's a season two coming. And I think they did a really great job of really dropping you into the world where these characters live and showing you what it would feel like for the characters that you see, you know, bopping across your screen when you're playing the game, what it would be like for them to actually be living, breathing people and how they interact with each other and their competing needs and wants and goals. And I thought it was just so beautifully done. And some fantastic cinematography in that piece. Another one that I really liked more recently was Mario Brothers movie. I thought that was really, really fun. And aside from it being, you know, like the first billion-dollar movie of 2023, which, you know, surprise, surprise, gamers like movies too, I think it was just so fun and so vibrant. And I had the same joy that I felt when I first played the games before I started dying over and over again. And it, you know, it really felt like you were in that world and like it was real. And for it to be another animated movie this time, not TV series, it's so interesting how resonate it was and how these characters felt so familiar and, you know, the world felt so alive. And it's just, I think it was just delightful. And I think they could have done even more Easter eggs, honestly, in that one. And I know there's a second one coming, so we should be excited for that. And hopefully they lean in even more heavily. But, you know, when you see like the carts, you know, driving across Rainbow Road in order to get to like the castle, it's just like so fun. Like even games that aren't necessarily Super Mario Brothers ended up in this movie. And it just felt like they really understood the source material. And I think that really lent itself to how successful it was, because it really just felt like a page out of our childhood memories just thrown up onto a movie screen, which was super delightful. Another one that has been pretty well received, but maybe not my favorite, has been The Last of Us. That's more recent, obviously. And that's obviously from HBO, The Last of Us being a game from Naughty Dog Studios, a PlayStation exclusive. So not a lot of people played it compared to the number of people who have HBO, for instance. And I thought it was interesting that it really resonated with people and really took off, because it's a very dark story. You know, it's apocalypse, there's zombie-like characters and not a lot of people around. And, you know, almost at every turn, our main characters, Joel and Ellie, like face loss and tragedy and sadness. And it's a very big downer of a story. And one of the reasons why I recognize how popular it is and how successful it was, but was a little bit tough for me, is because it lifted the storyline directly from the game and had the really difficult task of retelling a story that we already know versus creating something new in a world that we know. And I think for me, that's where Fallout was way more successful, where the Fallout TV series is canon to the Fallout video games, which there's, what, seven of them or something like that? There's a lot. And it is part of that universe, but it's not showing us another version of something we are already familiar with. You know what I mean? Like it's not giving us the same story in a different visual language. It's truly original storytelling and original characters and, you know, original narrative. And I think The Last of Us had a bigger challenge, you know, on its plate, trying to tell us a story that we already know. So those are ones that I think come to mind when I think of ones that did it really well. Besides, you know, the ones you mentioned, Mortal Kombat is, of course, fantastic. Yeah.
And I knew you were going to mention that. I knew you were going to mention like the most recent stuff, but I also wanted to mention movies that based on video games that came out back in the days too, you know, because I think those two was really good. I know you mentioned Arcane and Fallout, and a lot of people don't know the main actress, Lucy, her name is Ella. I can't remember her last name.
Ella Purnell.
She is also the voice of Jinx in Arcane.
Yeah, she's two for two. She's doing great.
Back to back, two back to back video game adaptation.
Shout out to Ella.
Series, and it's been a hit. Both of them. Yeah. So. Now, I do want to mention this because I love. Here's the thing. I didn't like the Street Fighter II movie that came out back in the days. Van Damme was Gao in the movie. Yeah, it was so funny. But the soundtrack, I really enjoyed because they had. Nas, he released a song for that soundtrack of Street Fighter called 101. Really, really good. Look it up. You can find it on like YouTube and other places. It's not on streaming services for some strange reason, but you can find it on YouTube and there. amazing, amazing. Now, another series that is really good, which I enjoyed. I was watching it too, Sonic on Netflix. And there's also Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, that's also came on theaters. You could also stream it on Paramount Plus. And now
there's one and two, right?
Yes, and they're working on a third one, which recently they just announced that Keanu Reeves is going to be the voice of Shadow. And a lot of people are excited about it. A lot of people are excited about it.
This is the Knuckles movie, right?
No, it's not a Knuckles movie. It's the actual a new Sonic movie.
Oh, well, there's the Knuckles, maybe not series, movie, maybe series. It's a series. I think that's series. Another Amazon one.
No, that's Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus. I'm getting Paramount. All over the place. But yeah, Paramount Knuckles. And shout out to, I think I follow her on Twitter, the individual who chose Knuck If You Buck as the music for the Paramount Plus series for Knuckles. Because it was just a brilliant, brilliant choice for a song.
That's funny. That's funny.
Bravo.
Yeah. And also, I really enjoy even though some of them were really cheesy, the Resident Evil movies that came out. It wasn't that bad. It was all right. It was all right.
I would also give a quick shout out to the Lara Croft movies, the original ones with Angelina Jolie and Ron Voight. And I thought those were fun. They are definitely more in the camp side, like along with Mortal Kombat. I haven't seen the most recent Lara Croft movie, but I think those original ones are pretty fun.
Now, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Halo. I know we never mentioned about it. So I have a love and hate relationship with that series. So I love the first episode of season two. Oh my God. Phenomenal. Oh, that was
great,
like strong.
Great season opener.
Yeah. Yeah. Really great one. I have to finish the rest of the season, but I think Halo could have been like a Fallout series. New story. Create a big buzz. It would have been a big hit for Paramount Plus and also for Xbox. But it started strong at season one and then just went downhill. Like within minutes, this is not a spoiler, but you see Master Chief taking his helmet off and everything throughout the whole series.
He literally never does in the games.
Exactly. And that kind of killed it for me, you know? I'll watch it just to watch it, but it's not like a Fallout or Arcane or any of those recent, or like The Last of Us, which is like phenomenal, phenomenal TV shows. I wish it started strong, and I think people still would have been talking about it and everything like that, you know. So I know that there was an announcement that we might see a Gears of War series. I believe it's a series.
That's interesting.
I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if it's a movie or what, but I think it's a series. Yeah. But I just hope that the script is good, the actors are good when they release this. I know years ago too, this is when The Division came out for Ubisoft. They made an announcement they were going to work on a series, and it never came out. I don't know whatever happened to that. And it was I think that was supposed to be like a streaming service. Years ago they announced that when part two came out.
Yeah, I mean, we have a list here in front of us that we pulled up before we started recording of all of the rumored and potential upcoming video game, TV, and movie adaptations. So we're jumping around a little bit here. But I think what disappointed me with Halo is that it was very clearly a non-canon to the game's story, right? Like, and conversely, Todd Howard and Bethesda have confirmed that the Fallout TV series is canon to the game universe. But for Halo, I feel if it was presented as, hey, this is in the Halo universe, but it's a different timeline, or, you know, it's, you know, a different reality of what Halo could have been if X, Y, and Z happened to change the course of the history that you know and love from the games, I think that would have made it a little bit easier for super fans to get on board and really evangelize the game the way that Fallout fans are evangelizing the Fallout TV series, the way that Last of Us fans evangelize the Last of Us TV series, because they would really feel seen and heard and like they could get behind it. And they'd say like, hey, I recognize this and this is similar and these things cross over between the two different timelines, and celebrate the differences versus being taken out of the story when they see a difference, right? And, you know, Master Chief or John the main character being so different from the, you know, very short phrase, like short spoken protagonist that we play in the games is really tough. But for a TV series, like, you can't have a guy who's always, you know, giving one word answers and never shows his face and never emotes. I mean, The Mandalorian kind of pulled it off, but even they had to pull the helmet off at one point and yeah, many more voice lines, right? So it's tough. It's really tough to bring that kind of a game to life versus something like Fallout or Last of Us that have, you know, much more flexibility in the way they present the characters. But, you know, the Halo TV series definitely has been its own triumph and its own story. And for people who can get behind that, I think they have something they can really enjoy there. There's another one that we talked about before we started recording that I think struggled a little bit personally. You said the Resident Evil movie, but I think what bothers me so much about that series, not being a Resident Evil super fan at all, is that it picks and chooses when it wants to be an adaptation, and then other times it's just a Hollywood blockbuster movie. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's not 100% committing to one or the other, and so it ends up feeling like it's not 100% successful at either thing. And it comes from an era where, you know, game adaptations weren't 100% faithful. That's fine. You know, we have things like the Uncharted movie. We have things like the Assassin's Creed movie, which are, again, one foot in both worlds and don't necessarily nail it for me. And hopefully, you know, these successes are enough to really show what could be possible if you really commit, you know, one way or the other. Like, if it's a Mario example or an Arcane example, you're like, I'm going to just make an incredible animated feature and it's going to pull from this world and it's going to feel like you stepped out of it and we gave you a brand new story. Or if you go in the route of live action, like, this is going to feel like you're playing the game, but you're actually just watching these characters go through it in a passive experience. But it takes you back. Every other second you feel like you're in the game again. It makes you want to go back and play the game, right? That's something you said when you saw the Fallout TV series. I think that's the way to do it. The Pokemon movies have kind of gone in a completely different direction from all of that and have found their own success, which is pretty cool. But all that to say, there's lots of good ways to pull it off. There's not one formula that works or doesn't work 100% of the time. But I'm glad that, you know, the powers that be in Hollywood are starting to figure it out. Like, they're getting more and more successes in a row over time. And that makes me hopeful for the future. So we mentioned a couple that are coming up. You said the Sonic series is, of course, continuing, but some of the ones that we haven't seen before, not sequels, that I'm personally excited for, number one has got to be Borderlands. I am a Borderlands super fan. Borderlands 2 is top three, one of my favorite games of all time. I am absolutely in love with the looter shooter genre, co-op gameplay, Anthony Birch's writing, all of the voice actors. It's like, it's just a very, very special game to me for lots and lots of reasons. But I gotta say, I'm nervous, Danny. I'm nervous for this one. So what are your thoughts so far for the Borderlands movie and what you've seen of it?
So when I heard the announcement, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be tight. It's gonna be fun. Saw the trailer, maybe pause for a second there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to watch the whole thing.
It's like, of course,
Dungeons and Dragons. When I watched the trailer, I was like, meh. When I watched the movie, I was like, okay, I was impressed. Like, it was really
super
good.
Fun movie.
So it could be similar to Borderlands. Like, maybe we didn't like the trailer, but the movie's actually fun. I think that's possible. That's possible, you know. So
yeah, but I hope the cast isn't like so big and so special and so accomplished that it becomes a movie about the cast instead of about the game. I think that's what I'm worried about.
I just hope that the story is good too.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. But you know which one I'm very interested in watching, because I know Jack Black is involved with this one? Minecraft.
Yeah, and Jack Black has been wonderful as far as adaptations goes. And
he's a gamer.
He's been in video games. He's been in gaming movies. Like, he's done it all, right? And
yeah,
I mean, the Peaches performance has taken on a life of its own. So even within a really amazing success of video game adaptation, he has the power to make it even bigger than that one piece of cinema. So yeah, that's a good call out. I'm excited. And Minecraft, like, the sky is the limit for the story since it's just an open world building game, right?
Yeah. You know what? There is a game that people could play this on Netflix or any other console. It's called Minecraft The Story, I believe. It's like an episodic. It's similar to like Telltale Games, that type of vibe.
Yeah, it's choose your own adventure game. I believe it is adventure. A Telltale game.
Oh, it is? Okay, yeah. So I know it's available on Netflix, so you don't have to own a console to play it. You can just do everything from your remote to the app and try it out. So, and it's really good. I heard nothing but great things about it.
Yeah.
One thing I want to mention, Five Nights at Freddy's. I haven't watched the one that came out in theaters and also
the horror one.
The horror one. And I quote, horror movie. It's not
the horror
scary
movie that all the kids wanted to go see.
Yeah, I know it's available on Peacock, so people could watch it through there, through the streaming service and everything. I know it was a huge success because what NBC Universal did, they released the movie at the theaters and Peacock at the same time, the streaming service, back to back, same day, boop. And it was a huge success that it got the green light for the sequel.
Yeah.
So
well done.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not that bad. Now, there's a couple here that I'm like, I have never heard about this.
Well, let's not waste our time on stuff that's just rumors, because it may be just like a rumor in here. I know you mentioned Gears of War, which very excited to see that. It's a wonderful game.
That was a great story. That was announced. Yes.
God of War is another one that I would be very interested to see, whether it's an original story or, you know, a lift of one of the stories in the game. I think that could work, you know, if it's the right team, if they give it the right approach. That's really exciting. Another one, and these two are kind of similar, that I think the world is so interesting that it would just be really cool to see it come to life if they were able to do it in live action, would be number one, Horizon, and number two, BioShock. Like, they just have such interesting worlds and like lore and, you know, story of like how the world came to be the way it is in each of these games. Horizon being, you know, robot dinosaurs and like set in the far distant future, and then BioShock being, you know, alternate realities or alternate versions of our current reality, either in the sky or underwater, or like they're just such interesting settings. Like, it would be really cool to see those come to life in live action. So yeah, those two I hope. Fingers crossed someday they're pulled off.
I'll tell you which one I'm excited about.
Yeah.
For the future. The Legend of Zelda.
Oh, of course. Now, do you want it to be animated or live action? I know live action is in the works, but would you want to see an animated one?
Ooh, live action is a little bit tricky.
I mean, that's what I've heard, is that this one is live action.
I prefer animated.
Yeah, me too. I wish they would go in like an arcane direction for this.
Yeah. We'll see. Now, Until Dawn. Is that official? I didn't know about that.
Until Dawn. Yeah, that. I don't know if it's official. I've heard rumors about it as it's on a list here. It seems like it's already lent itself to a live action, since it's a very true to life capture style video game, right? Like, they use motion capture, they use working actors and actresses for their cast. It's broken up, like their Until Dawn series, most of the games in the series are broken up scene by scene, and you know, you transition with title cards. So it feels like it's already in a very cinematic structure. It doesn't seem like as much of a stretch to adapt that, but who knows, right? The games were made in the style of movies, so making a movie from the games would be pretty straightforward, hopefully.
And yeah,
should be pretty successful.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. If there's any other movie or series that might be coming up in the future, but I know Netflix has been investing a lot of like animated video game adaptations, like Castlevania, Arcane. I know there's other ones too. They're snatching it and putting it there.
One show we did not mention was The Witcher, which technically counts as a video game adaptation, but originally the game adapted from book series, right? So the line is blurred there. We can't talk about everything that's ever existed around a video game adaptation. The list is far too long, but you know, The Witcher is sort of in the mix there. So shout out to Cavill / the new one / Yennefer.
Yennefer. Yeah, I think I'm glad you mentioned The Witcher. It started really strong, season one.
Yeah.
And I just stopped watching it after that. Season two was okay.
Again, not technically a video game adaptation. So.
No, it's not. It's not. But I remember when that series came out, the game blew up. Like, people.
Yeah. We've seen the same with Fallout.
Yeah.
All of the Fallout series.
The only difference with Fallout, people don't know which ones to start first. You know, everybody's like,
I actually posted this on Twitter. Yeah, actually, let me go to my tweet because there is such
people reply to you.
They absolutely did. Yeah, there's such a wide variety of responses, and of course, there's fan favorites of Fallouts. But out of the 25 responses I've got, New Vegas is mentioned almost half the time. Three, a lot of people say is really good, but that you need a bunch of like updates and mods and stuff. Four is the one with the mods. Three, they say is a good starting point for newcomers. Four, they say is good, but with a lot of mods. And for me, I'm just going to wait until they re-release four within all of the quality of life upgrades. So
it's soon. I think it's like in a week or two.
I'm excited. But New Vegas 3 and 4 are far and away the ones people recommended. And of course, if you want to play with other people, you can always jump into Fallout 76, which is a multiplayer online. And I think we said we were going to try to play that together.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Fallout 76 on the Steam Deck, and it plays great.
Yeah.
The only thing, the text might be a little bit small, but that's about it. And you know me, I have to wear glasses, you know, but besides that,
he's playing the game pushing up your glasses. I might opt for the Xbox version, but we'll see.
There's a lot of
really good stuff out here.
And you know what, Ree? I know that was one of the conversations that we were having weeks ago of like about gaming events and what's next for gaming. I think this of video game adaptations, like the more that we see this, the more that it's going to open up for like a new audience to not only watch this, but maybe they will get them curious and will buy the game, buy a console. I think this is the way to do it. If you have the right script, the right cast, the right director.
I would also say somebody from the game team involved that seems to really, really help. It doesn't necessarily mean they're writing it or taking the lead, but just have them around just to ask a question like, hey, could we throw in anything cool here? Or does this look off? Like it seems to really make a difference. But you're 100% right. We were talking about that earlier today where, you know, there are many people in the gaming industry who are analysts and executives who are rightfully expressing the difficulties and the challenges of having an audience that is maybe maxed out. Right. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, the video game space blew up, and in a good way. A lot of people started playing more games. A lot of people started talking about more games. We were certainly busier during the pandemic, and the audience grew exponentially. But since then, that rate of growth has not been sustained. People are going back to their jobs. They're going back to their their former hobbies and habits, and they have less time at home playing games. And in order to keep growing as an industry, they really do need to find ways to expand to new audiences. And if they can't find new content fast enough, because the talent drain is real, then it's new audience either in different areas. So we're seeing a lot more games releasing worldwide, or at least along a wider breadth of countries. A lot of games are finding more representation from developers in other countries. We're seeing a ton of African developers popping up, a ton of Indian and Southeast Asian developers popping up with really amazing quality accredited games. And as you said, Danny, expanding these licenses and IPs into other media. So we might see book series, we might see more comics or motion graphics, and we're definitely seeing a huge boom in video game adaptations for movies and TV, and I'm just eating it up. Like, give me more. This is awesome. Like, I love living in this world right now. Like, the nerddom is healthy, and I just love seeing content and people celebrating the things that, that we've loved for years, you know?
Yeah, and I hope, fingers crossed, hopefully we'll see like an Alan Wake series or something like that. I think that would be great. I don't know.
I feel like Alan Wake lives in a really special place where it is already an adaptation to live action within a game, kind of. Within a book, within a TV series, because it's just so, you know, meta media. I don't know. I don't think it needs to be adapted. I think it's already in every world.
I think that's like the perfect next big thing to come out. It has a great script, and I think people will get into it right away. Even people that have never heard of Alan Wake or don't play games at all, I think they will love it. You know, so we'll see. It's been a while now. Here, anything else before we wrap it up?
Or no? I just think, you know, there's lots of things we didn't mention, like, you know, the Twisted Metal series and like Castlevania and like all these things that are fantastic. And like we said before, there's too many to name. And video game adaptations are like have a long history, but they're definitely on the rise at the moment. They're in vogue. Everyone's talking about them. So I'd love to hear everybody who's listening their thoughts about these adaptations and maybe like what you wish was on the list of rumors or what you wish was coming out soon. Cause you know, there's tons and tons and tons of stories to be told here.
Yeah. And also check out our poll because we're going to post it under the description of this episode.
Yeah.
Be involved, or you can send us comments, you know, feedback.
Send us questions. We want to do a questions episodes. Yeah. We need more questions from you guys.
Yeah. Go on YouTube also under the comments and send some questions there, comments and stuff there too. So, but now, thanks everyone for listening to the latest episode of the Danny and Rihanna Show. We'll be back next week with more content and another different conversation too. So stay tuned. Until next time, we're out.
Bye.
Bye.